Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And what a great way to start off my Friday, something I know you hear me say a lot, but it's true, because I get to hang out with super cool people. And I just noticed today on the British Tech Network, we do not have anyone representing the UK or any British territories. So, well, we can do anything we want. Not like that's different from any other day. Let's see first who our rebels against the king are. Chuck, how are you?
Thank you for putting me at the top of the list. Does that mean I'm... No, never mind. I'm doing fine, Jeff. I'm here with you guys, and it's always a great way to end the week.
It is. Yeah, it's really nice. Hey, another one of our rebels against the crown. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's Friday, and it's my first time back this year. I've been busy with work and stuff, so glad to be back on the Mac Show here.
Yeah, and it's great to see you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
So, Patrice, have you ever lived in, other than in the United States, you lived here for a little while. Have you lived anywhere else where you could be considered a rebel against the crown?
That is a good question. A rebel against the crown. I mean, yeah, kind of. There's some royalty in some areas still in Germany that have... It's not on the same level, and it's not a king or whatever. It's like a local royal. But yeah, I think so.
All right. So here we are. We are all rebels against the crown. Patrice, I was asking if there's anywhere else, because you earned that distinction by having lived in the United States for many years.
Yes.
I was just trying to decide if you get to be the top rebel because you have multiple countries, or if you're on the same level as us. So you're the top rebel. That's awesome. All right. Well, I guess we should talk about some Apple news. And I'm going to preface that with... thank you, Dave, for doing the hard work for us and letting us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes so that we know what the important news is this week. So as Dave's show notes point out, this is the 1-year anniversary of Vision Pro. So I thought that it would be cool to talk some about Vision Pro, and then also weave in some feel good story stuff about that. And so Dave, related to you reminding us on In Touch with iOS that it's Vision Pro anniversary, I came across this story this morning about Vision Pro being used in conjunction with a new, personal mobility device. Calling it a wheelchair isn't accurate because it's much more than that. So personal mobility device. So there's a company now that's making a personal mobility device. It's called the Strut EV. And it can link up with Vision Pro, so you actually wear your Vision Pro while you're in your mobility device,
mm-hmm.
and use that to drive around.
And that is pretty cool.
Cool.
I mean, even though, you could drive around inside. I was just thinking, Apple doesn't recommend doing it outside, but inside is fine. And you might need to do that, right? So, makes sense.
Yeah, and excuse me. What I'm liking about this story is that it's a nice reminder that Vision Pro has a lot of potential still.
Mm-hmm.
We're only a year into this, And we're starting to see really interesting things like, hey, here's how you could use this to control a mobility device.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm seeing that to be super cool is, what if you are fully capable of functioning in society, but you don't have enough control over your hands to be able to reliably drive a device like this?
Yeah.
Vision Pro on your face, and now you can potentially drive this as precisely as anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, I don't know, you broke an arm and a leg or something. So clearly, mm-hmm. like, hard to properly do stuff, but with this, yeah, doable. I'm not sure about the mm-hmm. control part. I mean, Dave can probably attest to that. Precision sometimes, I really look, is a fickle and weird thing. Would it be doable? Yes. But yeah. I think there might be some challenges.
I think so too. Chuck, did you see this at CES? It says that they're showing this off at CES.
I did not, Dave. Frank, well, you already know. You know, just it's crazy,
it's
unrealistic.
Yeah,
but yeah, but I mm-hmm. did not. I'm sorry, I didn't, because mm-hmm. I do not remember seeing a press release mm-hmm. on this. So because if it had said Apple Vision Pro, it should have kind of jumped to the top for me. But sure. One way or another. You know, I want to point this out as just, this is the kind of thing that I keep saying, we have to give developers a little time to figure out what they can do mm-hmm. with this device. And mm-hmm. this is a prime example. You know, who would have ever thought that you would think of this, the Apple Vision Pro, as an accessibility device, accessibility mobility device. Mm-hmm. And yet here it is, and it makes perfect sense. It just would not have, you know, jumped, at least not to the top of my mind. So yeah, look for more. There are going to be more things like this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the accessibility part, but just more uses that you didn't expect that we will all benefit from.
The third in the live chat says that their sister can't use her arms or legs and drives her chair with her chin, but would look so much cooler driving 100%. Around with the Vision Pro
yeah.
on her face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually very, just thinking about it, I'm very, very interested, and I'll look it up, how they're doing that. Because as I said, like just driving where you look is not going to work, because said you'd look left, right, up, down, like you, when you're driving, especially, you have to see the environment and what's happening, whatever. So that wouldn't work. So how do they do that? That's actually very interesting.
There's a video in mm-hmm. in the article yeah. that I dropped into the live chat.
Yeah,
and I'll of course, that. I prepared for the show today by not watching the video.
By not watching the video. That's what I thought.
And it, no, it probably shows cool in the video idea. How this works.
Yeah, but but you could do it probably with like head movements or anything like that, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just thinking out loud, but I said, I'll watch the video after, and I'm very, very interested in this, even though I don't need it right now, and hopefully will never need it, but it's good to know this could be a thing.
I think it's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrice, I agree, this is probably rudimentary, the way it functions today. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
I don't know, maybe it works pretty well.
But the fact that we are just a year into this being a publicly available product, mm-hmm. and there's already companies doing stuff like this. That's
yes.
pretty cool.
Yeah, within a year, that's pretty impressive for something like this.
Yeah. But before we move on, I'm just curious, Dave, Patrice, you both have Vision Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how both of you are feeling about the current state of Vision Pro, and how you feel about the what you see as the projected path for the product.
I'm incredibly what is it? Bullish? Bullish, right? It's the one that where you were very positive. I always confuse it. But I'm currently bullish about it. I think it is honestly, I think it is the device for the future. I mean, Ready Player One, just look at that. That's, I think, literally what's going to happen. Maybe not exactly like that, but that direction at least. Hopefully not the dystopian part, but I also think that is very realistic, so we'll see. But no, it's, I mean, for if you really, I thought about that recently. If you think about it, it's only a, well, it's not a year old. It's a year that we've had it in our hands as consumers. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's way older than that because Apple spent probably 10, 15 years working on it in one way or another. But it's like, if you think about it, how far we've come from like announcement to shipping version, and then from shipping version, like software wise, to today, how much it improved, how much I enjoy using it every little, almost every day. Like some days I'm run out of time at the end of the day and I just really can't do it. But even then, sometimes I just go in for 10 minutes and meet up with my friends and have FaceTime calls, and we're watching movie. Like I'm literally watching, basically we're sitting in a movie theater and I'm watching with people in whatever, Dubai, in somewhere in the UK, in all over the US, like Canada, like all over the place. And we're sitting together as if we're sitting next to each other. Stuff like that. So I'm, and this is, I always say that, this is the worst, hopefully at least the worst the Vision Pro is ever gonna get. Software and hardware. Mm-hmm. Let's hope so. I mean, I'm sure you can also F it up, but... I hope not.
Everybody that you were joined into that session all had Vision Pros?
Yeah, yeah. It's like we have the app is called InSpace. That's kind of a like a social video thingy. And right. From there we jump off. We do that every Saturday evening or Saturday night for me. We have like a movie watch together in multiple groups because there's some limitations of FaceTime right now with like you can only do 5 people in spatial at once. But we simply do multiple groups. And it's like, okay, groups of 5. And we watch it together, and it's so much fun. Like, just start a FaceTime call with those people and watch it together. Yeah, there's some limitations in the software. That's why like InSpace can't do it right now, because Apple hasn't opened up the APIs for it yet. But that will happen. So I'm very, very, very excited. And I'm very happy that I bought it. I mean, I thought about it. Like it was a massive investment. But I'm really enjoying it every day.
I need to use it more. I've only had it for what, maybe 6 months. You've had it the whole time, so
no, also six months, right? I got it in July only because Germany.
Oh, that's right. You guys couldn't get it until later. So, but I do see its potential. I should use it more than I do. I don't use it as much, but as everybody keeps saying, and I'll say it again, the Mac Virtual Display is a game changer. Oh, yeah. I think. You know, again, I was looking at it again last night, and you know, bringing that wide screen is just insane. I mean, just to be able to have that, and the thing of being able to do that is just phenomenal. I did have the new app for that you can watch your Plex server movies
theater.
And put that in theater mode.
Yeah,
which I was really happy about.
It's really cool.
They really need to get some people on board expanding onto the theater mode stuff. I like that, and you know, some gaming is okay. Some games can kind of give me a headache. You know, there's some fun games out there, but I think we got to get some more developers on par here to start developing these things. So.
The crazy thing is, there's about feels like, I mean, since I'm hanging out with a lot of people in InSpace, like from all like there's like celebrity chefs and whatever in it. It's really interesting sometimes, because it's a very selective group. It's like who can afford to spend, let's say, $4,000 or $5,000. On a whim, on a device that has potential but is very early, this very limited group. And so, like, I get a lot of information about, oh, there's a new game here, there's a new app that, there's new this, there's new content, whatever, because we're constantly talking about it and constantly looking for it. It feels like right now there's a new game every week or so. Which is cool. I mean, not the massive multiplayer or whatever games, like little things, little really interesting experience with AR and VR sometimes. It's like, oh, there's an island with like something on it and you can interact with it and there's a story and whatever. Like that was one of the recent ones. It was something with goo. I don't remember what it was called. like really interesting. Super Fruit Ninja was one like that's a little bit older, but super fun. I love playing that game. Like, yeah. Stuff like that.
You know, the only thing I as of late, I like going into the App Store, seeing mm-hmm. what needs to be updated and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't think the App Store is that easy to navigate, honestly. No. I mean,
typical
I can go
Apple.
Up to my, I can go pinch up to my face and then start looking for purchases, and then I can scroll through the list to make sure that everything is being up to date.
Oh no, that you don't have to do. You just go on your face, and the list is just on like on the iPhone. It's literally the same. You don't have to go to purchases. That works the same.
I gotta try that again.
Yeah, that works the same. Like but it's still the App Store app is definitely not great.
The App Store app itself. Yeah.
And I mean it's basically like on iOS. Like the editorial is the app itself is like that's exactly that. But that's no different on other platforms, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think I find it a little more cumbersome than on an iPhone or iPad. So.
Yeah, because it's not your finger. Like you're looking at it and it's different interaction, they haven't optimized. But they didn't haven't optimized it really for that. That's my feeling.
Yeah, it doesn't seem it. Yeah.
I think the big question for Vision Pro is when will Mist be available as an immersive experience on Vision Pro? I know Cyan was working on VR versions of Mist, but I don't know if they said that they were going to bring it to Vision Pro.
Hope so. No, I thought the question was, when will Chuck Joyner buy a Vision Pro?
You know, that's the real big question.
Exactly. That is the big question.
We keep talking
about it every week, Chuck.
Well, I try to explain my rationale. You know, I know, but I think that there are people out there like me that are sort of doing the same kind of math in their head.
Yeah.
You know, it is not an inexpensive product.
Yes.
And so it's do I want one? Absolutely. I would love to play with one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit expensive for a toy. And so I'm looking at what can it do for me from a productivity standpoint that I can't do right now? And at the moment, the first thing I've really seen that turned my head, thank you, Eric Bolden, is the Mac screen mirroring, so that you have this huge virtual screen in front of you and can do so many things that I require 3, 4, or 5 monitors to do.
Yes.
And you can take it with you.
Yes.
Okay. Bingo, that's my first big one, and it's really tempting. So, and I'm back to my earlier comments, you know, developers are figuring this out. Developers are thinking about it in ways that, as a user, I would love to say, oh, I want to do, and then I don't have a good answer.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where I am. That's why I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Because but do I want one? Absolutely. And if... I'll put a PayPal link in somewhere so you can find it. If you want to send, you know.
Yeah. Send you like $4,000 and you will buy one.
Sure, or just send me a Vision Pro. I'll probably just happily send you my shipping address.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think a lot of people look at it that way. And that's why I personally get really upset with some of the naysayer articles.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yes, it is a lot of money. Okay, I get that. So is a Porsche. So is a private helicopter. You know,
people
doesn't mean
buy
I don't
toys
want one.
All the time that are expensive. And the Vision Pro is no toy. But if you see it that way, I mean, for some people it might be because they don't know what to do with it yet. And so they might see it initially, like you said, okay, maybe it's just a toy. People buy expensive toys all the time and spend more than $5,000 on it. So... some people spend, like, they go to Vegas and spend, like, waste $30,000 just on betting on stuff, just not because they want to win anything, just because they want to do that. So it's like, well, buy an Apple, a golden Apple Watch for, what was it, $20,000.
Yeah, really. But Patrice, I might correct you. I really don't see it as a toy.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
and I go back to Tim Cook's comment. You know, this is an early stage product. First gen product. And so if you look at it that way and stop trying to think of it as something fully blown, then I think your attitude changes.
It does. It does. I mean, for me, I, I mean, I'm gonna admit it. It wasn't a toy for me. There's too much money for that. But for me, I didn't know exactly what I would use it for. I had some vague ideas, but for me, the part of the fun was figuring out what I could use it for. And I am actually always surprised how many things I found. And it, basically, I don't use my iPad at all. I still have one. I haven't upgraded for a reason, because I kind of had a feeling that might happen, that I just don't use an iPad anymore. I'm literally not using an iPad anymore. It's not even charged most of the time. And recently, I think I was in the bathtub, and I was like, oh, watch a movie, which is the only thing that I'm not doing with the Vision Pro. Because that, I'm like, yeah, I'm not taking a $5,000 thing into the bathtub. Like, not a chance. So that's where the iPad might come in handy still. But that was, I was like, I actually ended up not doing it because I used my iPhone, because it wasn't even charged. Like, battery had been dead probably 4 weeks. So that's exactly it. For me, it's like surprising how much I really use it, and how many things I find all the time. There's gaps. Like, there is no, I don't know if there's no text editor or no good text editor, but it's like basically text editing is not a thing on the Vision Pro native. They could always do it with a Mac, like, not a problem. Connect the virtual display and like, I edit all the time with on my Mac with i8 Writer or whatever. I write every, like, all the Retro Rewatch stuff, all the notes when I watch the shows and take notes, all of that I do with the Vision Pro, literally. That's it. There's no good text editor, because I think text editing on a Vision Pro is something developers haven't figured out, including Apple. It works, like, you can type things, but it is so cumbersome that you're kind of not do it.
So that tells me that Vision Pro is not yet a fully standalone computer the way Apple is envisioning the device.
It depends on what you use it for.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. But
I mean, for you, Jeff, yes. As a writer, you would have a hard... I mean, you connect it to a Mac and then it's fine, and it's the best display you could buy for really high price, but it's the best display you could buy. But yeah, for sure. I mean, for you, you would have a hard time. But other people, I mean, other than the notes I take sometimes on my Mac, I'm not doing a lot of text. If you're just sending text messages or whatever, that's like, okay. Siri works. As long as Siri works reasonably fine. Sorry, it just probably triggered it everywhere. It's okay.
The experience itself, yes. I mean, typing in a passcode. Typing in a password, you hope it, sync one password, at least one password works in Passwords app.
Yes, it does.
The password comes up when you go to a place, and I've done that, which is great. But anytime a keyboard comes up, I'm like,
connect an external keyboard, which you can. I mean, you can literally connect your any Bluetooth keyboard to it or your Apple keyboard and use it like that. Yeah, you can. It's not a problem. Keyboard and mouse or trackpad do work. Not just when you're connected to a Mac, but also independently or Bluetooth. That does work, actually.
I have not even explored that. Okay,
I have to try that. But then you have to have your keyboard with you.
That's true.
So, you could be sitting on an airplane. You have your like Apple keyboard and your Magic Trackpad, and you work on it, and it's probably totally fine. Depending on what you want to do.
Didn't even realize that.
So now we need to find a full size. Fold up keyboard.
Oh, there's probably somewhere.
Of course, I'm sure there are plenty out there.
Yeah, that's that. That's so there. It is. I mean, that's something. Also, people have a lot of expectations. It is, at the end of the day, a year old product. Like, of course, it's not going to compete with a 40-year-old ecosystem like the Mac. Not yet. Yeah, Patrice, it does benefit from it, though. Like what we've learned there.
Yeah, Patrice in the chat, the third asks, do you use it when traveling? You obviously answered that.
Yes.
But do you get many questions?
Surprisingly, no. Basically, I travel like sometimes twice a month, at least once a month. I've been for the last 6-7 months, been traveling. I think in total, I've gotten, I think, one or two looks, one comment from a child, and two like crew that asked me about it. Like one last flight, actually, one guy was super interested in it, and like he had some time, business class, and like domestic or, yeah, US would be domestic flight because it's within Europe. So they're not super busy. And so we had a couple of minutes and we talked about it and he was super excited about it. But other than that, I said, I got a comment like once someone from the crew said, oh, wow, I can see your eyes, because they didn't expect that. They thought I couldn't see them and they couldn't see me. That was it. Like most people, I don't know, didn't care.
Interesting.
Patrice, a practical question here. You obviously have to travel with it in a case of some kind.
Yes.
But how much hassle do you have? I mean, do you have a separate case? Do you have the issue of limited number of carry-ons? I mean, how do you handle that?
So I think that was one of my cool things, and somewhere, I don't know, somewhere around here is my backpack. I bought like a backpack for photographers where I can put the travel case in on the side. Let me grab it. It's behind me. I know where it is. So I have that backpack here. It was a cool thing a couple of weeks ago, but it has here a side pocket where I can literally just put in the travel case from Apple. Others would also fit. It's not, you don't have to have the Apple one. And I literally can just pull it out and put it in. So it's like no hassle. It took me a little while to figure it out. I'm not going to lie. Like it's, for a little while, it was, I always put it in a backpack because it's just, didn't want to openly show it. It's kind of a safety thing. But no, it's like no hassle at all. Even at security, which is a little crazy here in Europe still, half of the time they don't even ask me to pull it out these days. And only once I got a question from someone whether that's a makeup bag. Because they wanted to know if there's liquids in it. I understood that. Okay.
Okay.
It's like, okay. I mean, from the outside you can't tell. It's like a white nondescript, like the Apple stuff on it is very, very faint. So I understood how they got there. And I told them, and they're like, oh, that's what it is. Okay, yeah, now I've seen it. So they knew about the Vision Pro, but they never seen it. So
yeah, I must have missed that particular show. So if you want to, throw the link in the chat or something,
because I have it here.
That looks like the perfect backpack for for that.
Yes.
To buy a Vision Pro, you should get one of these.
Yes. Well, right away, go order. It's not even expensive. It's like $80. I think I should get commission from them because I've sold probably at least 10 of them by now. Because I keep telling people about it and they buy it and they're super happy.
Well, I already have a bag problem, so you're just contributing to it.
me too. I think we all have that. I don't know how many bags I have. I'll throw it in the chat. There we go.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, while you're throwing that in the chat, keeping with what I figure is my short-lived feel-good story theme, Tim Cook's dad blames the Apple Watch for damage to his house. No, wait, I've got that wrong. Tim Cook's dad was saved because of an Apple Watch. And so the deal is, Tim Cook was on a podcast, and they're talking about Apple Watch, and Tim shared this story about how his dad fell and didn't respond to the fall alert on his watch. So Tim got alerted, and so did the authorities. The police get to his house. Excuse me. He doesn't answer the door. They break through the door, and there's Tim's dad on the floor, unconscious. So Tim has a personal story about how the Apple Watch saves family members, and so Tim's dad, though, his big comment about the whole thing was just, he was upset that his door had been smashed in.
Of course. I mean, given from where he's from, that's right.
Yeah. So anyhow, and I like these stories about how how Apple Watch is involved in helping make people's lives better.
Yeah, I've heard so many things from this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't listened to it yet. I didn't get to it, but it seems to be was a really good interview.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out when I have a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a big fall, and my Apple Watch detected the fall, and I was okay. I fell. I had taken off my skis at the ski resort at Vail, and so the bottoms of ski boots, there's no traction on them at all. So I'm walking across the deck from taking off my skis to go into the bar, and slipped on the ice. And it's so fast when that happens, there's no way to even try and break your fall.
Yeah.
And so my feet shot out in front of me. I went straight down on my back, and I'm surprised that I didn't destroy everything in the little day pack that I had on. Mm-hmm. Although my glasses case did get ruined, but the glasses were fine.
Yeah.
Apple Watch triggered. I didn't realize it until it was down to the frantic, like tapping my wrist mm-hmm. like crazy to let me know it's about to dial 911. And so I stopped it right before that. I was fine. I was still wearing my helmet too, which is good because my head hit the deck pretty hard.
Yeah.
So that was my story. And I have a family member mm-hmm. who had a bad spill and ended up getting injured really bad. It auto-called 911, let me know, and I was able to track where they were because I kept getting updates as they were moved, like when they ended up in an ambulance. Then the ambulance went to the hospital, so mm-hmm. I was getting alerts for each of those. Then when they were transferred into a room in the ER, it dropped a pin on that room in the ER. So I was able to get to the hospital and go directly to their room. I knew where they were before
they told
the staff at the front counter told me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, the Apple Watch is like just one of the best things that Apple has invented. I actually had a side note in the article. It's mentioned that next year will be Tim Cook's 15th year, and this year is 14 years. He is basically this year on par with Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was CEO for 14 years because the original tenure, he was actually not CEO. He was a co-founder, but not a CEO at that point. So mm-hmm. not technically, at least. I mean, he still has more like experience, or had more experience in total, or more years in total at least. He only was CEO for 14 years officially.
So that's Tim crazy. Tim's about to become the longest running CEO of the company.
Yeah, I mean that's not hard.
Okay, fair, but still.
There's not been that many CEOs at Apple, but they've not lasted. Some of them haven't lasted super long. I don't know how long was Mark actually there.
Wait.
He wasn't there that long. Mm-hmm. I didn't think.
Was he? And Amelia was what, 1 year?
One or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just asking ChatGPT. So Michael Scott, 4 years. Michael actually only 2 years. John Scully, that's the one I was thinking of, not Michael, 10 years. Schindler, 3 years. Spindler, 3 years. Emilio, a year and a half. And then Steve Jobs, 14 years. And Tim Cook was, now 13. And this year, then 14. He's going to reach that in, mid of the year, I think.
It's hard to believe that.
Yeah.
10 years for
Pascali?
Yeah, for really 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
1983 to
a lot happened while he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Steve brought him in before the Mac and he lasted for quite a time after.
Hmm. Yeah, he's the CEO that brought us the message pad and the e-mate.
Mm-hmm. The Newton.
Yep. The crazy product matrix with Quadricentris, Performa, and yes. Quadricentris, Performa, and what was the fourth one? Because there were four in that group.
Four main time.
How funny.
Quadricentris, Performa, and...
How funny. Well, that shows you just how confusing it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like Dell's naming scheme.
Yeah, I remember a chart in Macworld magazine at one point trying to show the breakdown, LC, of all of the products in the Mac lineup. And it was like this matrix with checkboxes for which OS and which apps and which features. And they couldn't even cover all of it. It was just so confusing. Yeah. It's like, well, if you buy an LC520 versus a 525 or something like that, the difference was the bundled software. And it just, anyhow.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But either way, I mean, we think, it was Steve Jobs and Tim Cook came in, but it's recently. But no, it's been almost 14 years. Sad. At this point, he's going to have more years as CEO than Steve.
Hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another story for us to hit. Don't worry, CarPlay 2 is still in the works. Apple said that we were going to see cars in 2024 with CarPlay 2.
Yeah.
Surprise, it didn't happen.
Since we were talking about old stuff, is that like the... How it was it? Was the macOS version called that then never came out? It had a code name. What was that?
Not Copeland.
No, I think it was Copeland, actually.
Was it Copeland?
I think it was Copeland.
Oh.
I think it was that one. As I said, it's kind of like that, right? Let's see if it comes out.
Yeah. I think CarPlay 2 is coming. It's just, I think Apple was far too optimistic on when car makers would actually be able to roll this into their product timetables. Because it takes a long time for companies to design and roll out new models of cars.
Yeah, it was Copeland. You are right.
No, it was Copeland. All right. Yeah. Well, there we go. So anyhow, Chuck, that means it's going to be a little while still before you have to replace your car to get CarPlay 2. So you have enough money to go buy your Vision Pro.
I love the way you never mentioned banks, Jeff. You just mentioned buy.
That's all that matters. Welcome to capitalism, Chuck.
Exactly. You're in America. Should be good American and buy stuff, right?
Hey, I consider myself a capitalist, just a careful capitalist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who just bought a backpack, Patrice. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Careful capitalist.
Well done.
That should, honestly, that should be a podcast, The Careful Capitalist.
It's
or like a blog or something.
All right.
Why not?
Chuck, I'm looking forward to your new show.
I'm checking the domain right now.
I was doing the same thing.
Yeah. Anyhow, I don't know if there's that much more to say. It's just
no.
It's still in the works. It's just not here yet. It's not a dead product line. So with that, Patrice, do you mind letting people know about the new chat that you set up because you know how to do all this stuff and now it's way better than it was?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. So we have a really cool chat, live chat actually. So when we are recording this very show, which we do Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time usually, whenever that is in your time zone, you have to figure out and keep in mind daylight savings is a thing. So twice a year we get a whole mess because stuff changes, but not at the same time. Same procedure every year. We're still a little while away from that, so it's all good, but keep that in mind. Yeah, and then head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you, it's kind of like YouTube and Twitch and all of them. There's a video, and right next to it is a chat. That's how easy it is. There's a box. Start typing. Done. It auto-generates really funny like usernames for you. Like for today, for example, I saw the Vigilant Kilby, the Adoring Rite, the Unruffled Gates. Oh, that's a funny one. And so on. Like it's just really cool. What do you call names usually? And yeah, start typing. If you want to change your name, of course you can. You can just click on the top, like top right, there's a little purple thingy. You click on it and it says change name, and you tap on that and or click on that, whatever, and done. That's how easy it is. If you are listening to this in the recorded form and you're like, I really want to see the links that we just posted into the stories into the MacPack, for example, and for the cool things that are coming and all of that. And what was talked about in the chat? Like, I want to see that. What did the third ask? All of that. You can just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar. You pick a date. And if you pick today's date, which is when we're recording this, which is January 24th, 2025. So it's always the recording date, not today's date when you're listening to this. The recording date, January 24th, 2025. If you put that or select that date, it will show you the transcript for that day. And if you pick any other day, then you get the transcript for that day. Whether that's useful or not, you have to decide. But it's sometimes fun to go back in the past and have a look in 2015. What the hell did they sure. talk about there?
Yep. Cool. Thank you for doing that. And now it's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
Not me, because I forgot about it.
That means Dave. And Dave, you are muted.
He's still muted, I guess.
No,
oh,
not.
Good.
Yeah,
Dave
now
is spending more of Chuck's money. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes. So this is the Audio Engine B1, the updated Bluetooth receiver. It's the next gen. It has 32-bit audio processing, the aptX DAC technology, and I have to tell you, it paired nicely with my Audio Engine A5 Plus speakers, and it just plugs in with the standard RCA connectors. It connects. It works. It worked with my Apple TV. It worked with it'll connect with through your Mac through Bluetooth, as well as any other audio device that you want to do. And yeah, of course, adding the amazing sound of the A5 Plus speakers even enhances it even more. So not a bad little device. It looks almost exactly the same as the D1, which is the analog DAC but this one, as you see, has an antenna. So you just power it up, you put it into Bluetooth mode, it'll sync, and away you go. So it's not too terribly expensive, but worth a nice addition if you wanted to use it for with the speakers as well. You could adapt it to, if you have an older stereo system, and be able to hook it up that way too, and it can connect and play sound through there as well. It's cool.
Very cool. An Audio Engine does make really good stuff.
They do.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. I know you're trying, Dave, but you didn't quite get there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh, Chuck, there's yours, and maybe you just spent some of Dave's money.
Yeah, this is the DJI mic. Now, I'm quick to tell you, first of all, that there are newer models. I'm picking this one because I've been using it now for over 3 years, and it does everything so well. This is so thoughtfully designed. And if you were here last week, you saw me pick one of the DJI pocket cameras. So this is the combination that goes with that. A couple key features here. First of all, this automatically syncs up and locks in with your camera. So as soon as you take it out of its little charging case, it's ready to go. You don't even have to turn it on because it's already turned on. And you, of course, you can turn them off, but I just leave them turned on and leave them in the charging case so that you take it out and it's ready to record. That's the first thing is really nice. Second, there are two of them that will then automatically pair to your camera. So if I want to put one on as a lav for me and a lav for Jeff, then it's recording all to the same camera. And you don't have to worry about, passing it back and forth. I personally prefer a wand where I can control the conversation a little more. And so instead of clipping these onto your shirt, you can clip it onto a mic holder, and then use that to go back and forth, interview style. The little receiver that's here is perfect. That's what will receive the signals, so you can feed them into your camera if or into your iPhone or any other place you want to feed them. But probably the coolest thing about this is that yes, it is recording to your camera and the file that's there, but each one of these has its own recording built in. So it's a backup. So if anything should happen to your camera or whatever, it's recording on the mic, on the lav piece itself, so that you have that dedicated recording. And that has saved several interviews for various reasons, especially when you have transmission issues, because of course, since it's recording right on the device, if you are in an area of high interference, it doesn't matter because even if it got garbled going to the camera, you've still got it on the mic itself. So this has been just a phenomenal little performer. It's not inexpensive, but I tell you what, it just works wonderfully. I have no intention of replacing it because I haven't seen any features that this doesn't have that I would use. And it you've if you've listened to any of the recordings from the show floor, you know just how good it can be. It's moderately directional because it is a lav, but you still get plenty of outside ambient noise or ambient sound if you want it, or you can do some things in post to narrow that down. But bottom line, this is just a terrific little piece. And for $249, you get both two of the lavs and the charging case and the receiver. So it's hard to go wrong with this. And it's DJI. So it's the combination that I used last week's camera, this week's mic system. And I don't see myself changing anytime in the immediate future.
Very cool. Dave, I assume that you just placed your order.
Of
course.
I did not.
No?
That's
Had
all right. The
Alexa do
day's
it
known.
or Siri.
Right.
He's waiting till after the show.
Oh, okay.
That's fair.
So he's being a
Cool.
careful capitalist. He waits till after the show.
He will be the first guest on the first episode. Yes, the careful capitalist. Oh, that'll
By
be
the way,
great.
the domain is available.
Patrice,
carefulcapitalist.com is available.
it is, but if you check, thecarefulcapitalist.com is taken. I was quite surprised. So,
That is weird.
yeah.
So, Chuck, here's a capitalist move for you. Buy Careful Capitalist and then sell it to whoever has the Careful
Yeah.
Capitalist.
Yeah. You can also get the careful capital dot ist.
Oh, that's clever.
Ist?
Yeah, dot IST. I don't
What?
know what it is, but
I was
20
going to say, what
bucks.
is IST?
Twenty
Never heard
bucks.
that one.
90 bucks?
Hmm.
20.
Oh,
Nineteen
okay.
ninety
Oh,
nine.
it's 20.
To 1999. Just saying.
All right, Chuck, start buying.
Yeah, start. You need another show, right? So you can make more money to buy a version
Ist.
pro. That's kind of the idea.
Ist is dedicated to Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, okay. Like
Meaning is
paying
primarily
Turkey a
used
little
in businesses for,
bit.
okay, I have a Turkish connection. Ooh,
Yeah.
that could get,
Oh. Oh, we have a show title. We
yeah,
have a show title.
oh. Yeah.
I have a Turkish connection.
Chuck has a Turkish
Nicely done,
connection.
Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you. It was completely unintentional.
All right, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing, I actually switched around. I wanted to take a Vision Pro app, but then I changed my mind. I want to briefly talk about Silo. Season 2 wrapped up. I'm not going to spoil anything, but season 2 is like as of, I think, last Friday. was the last episode, I think, something like that. I talked on InSpace with a ton of people about it. We had some theories. We had some, like, it was really cool. The final episode was amazing, especially the ending. Not going to tell you what happened, but I'm going to tell you the ending. Wow. Even for me, knowing what was coming, having read all the books, I'm like, I was blown away. It's a really great show. Season 2 was, in my opinion, started slow, but then was way better even than the first one, and the first one was great. I was like, the last scene of the last episode of the final episode of the season, like, came up and it wrapped, and I was like, no, I just need the next one. It's like, I don't want to wait a year. Like, can I get the next one, please? Like, I want to know how it continues. So now I have to wait a year ish. I don't know. We don't even know, but they're like shooting right now. So I hope it's not that long. It's a great show. The whole silo concept, and that I don't want to, if you haven't watched it, I don't want to spoil it for you. It is an amazing show. The set designs, especially in this season, were crazy. What they're doing, and there's a behind the scene thing with one of the actors that plays a certain role, so I don't want to spoil it, but there's a behind the scene thing where they go into kind of a library, and there's just so much stuff in there. Like, it's like and a lot of it came from him, because he was talking to people, and he got excited about this whole, like, set and room and whatever. And it's like, oh, and we could have this here and this there and whatever. And he just kept going, like, what his character would all have in this situation. And I guess they took notes, because, like, he got out of that.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah,
I need to watch the behind the scenes stuff.
You definitely do. It's like, so Silo. Apple TV Plus. Enough said. At this point, enough said. If it's any, I mean, it's like all Apple TV Plus shows are, in their own way, really good.
You know, I don't think it's any secret that I had issues with season one, and I watched the whole season, and the whole way through, I had a hard time with the season. But then it ended, season one ended, and I'm like, well, damn it. I was annoyed with the show all through season one, but I really want to see season two because of the way season one ended.
Yeah.
And episode
one... So it was a good annoying, I guess, because you really wanted to keep going.
It's, yeah, but you know, if they had just killed the series after that, I would have moved on. It would have been okay, whatever.
Sure.
But season two rolls around, and episode one of season two drops, and I watched it, and I'm like, holy crap, this one episode, this is better than the entire series, season one.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting even better from there. Yeah. I loved season two. Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I'm with you, Patrice. I need to see season three right now.
Yeah, it's like, Tim, send it over. Like, we can watch the dailies. We don't need the edited episode. Just send us the dailies. Like, I just want to see what you're doing.
Yeah, and I will throw in too. I thought, although I enjoyed season one more than Jeff, season two was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, and I haven't read the books, Patrice, and at this point I don't plan to until maybe the whole thing is over. But if memory serves, they've already confirmed seasons three and four.
Yes. Yes.
So
the books are planned in a four season arc, and that's so far at least what they've committed to.
Yeah. So you've got a guaranteed, you know, couple seasons here of something that is really, really good.
Yeah.
So it's great pick.
Yeah,
great.
And since pick. Hugh Howey is part of the producers, it's not impossible that he writes a fourth book and we get more. Or he doesn't write a book and he just keeps writing on the show. It is possible. We'll see. I could definitely see that happening, because there's a lot of potential in that whole universe.
Very nice.
Very cool. All right, so now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And my cool thing is more of a, hey, people, this is available now, so clear your schedule and go watch.
Okay.
Star Trek Section 31
yes.
came out today.
I know what I'm
Dave,
doing tonight.
You knew I was going to do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Talked about it last night.
Yep. And I need to see this. I want to watch it right now. What I want to do as soon as we're done is go sit on my couch and watch the movie. But I can't. So I'm thinking my first chance to watch this, it's going to end up being like late tonight.
Mm.
And it'll probably be on my laptop.
Oh, you need a Vision Pro.
Yeah. Although, well, okay, I have a 14-inch laptop. And then I have my my 13-inch iPad Pro. I have to decide which screen is it going to be better on.
The Vision Pro.
Chuck, can I borrow your Vision Pro, please?
As soon as I get it, you can borrow it, Chuck.
Great, thank you.
No, I'm not even kidding. The Vision Pro would be better, but your Mac, your laptop is probably better.
Yeah, I think so. And it means I have to lug less gear with me if I leave the iPad Pro behind.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I have a feeling this is going to be a wonderful action adventure. Excuse me, a movie because this is about. Yeah. It's Michelle Yeoh, and the premise is there's the kind of covert ops part of Starfleet, which is called Section 31.
Mm-hmm.
So they go and deal with all the stuff that doesn't fit with Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future, so this should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle Yeoh, Emperor Dodo.
Mm-hmm. And everyone that's involved in it, it's all people that appreciate what Star Trek is.
Yeah.
So, this should be pretty cool. So there you go. Everyone clear your schedule. Go watch Star Trek Section 31.
Already done.
Excellent. And it's only an hour and 35 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which means it's not a huge time commitment, but then I'm also sad because I want more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe they can do a Section 31.
Yeah.
2. Section 32. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they could do a whole series of Section 31 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. I haven't spent anyone's money today. I need to work on that.
Spending my money on Paramount Plus. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so it's time to wrap up. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's the best place to find everything that I'm doing. We are in the midst of releasing our CES interviews, and that will continue now for at least a little while because we did a lot of them. Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with everybody here, including Patrice when she stays up late or gets up early or whatever it is because of her time zone, and on all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Thank you. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at InTouchWithiOS, InTouchWithiOS.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchWithiOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night with mostly everybody here, in fact, everybody here. You also can find me on social media, DaveG65 on Blue Sky or Mastodon. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Patrice, how about you?
Well, I am here every week, almost every week, on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Friday. So Thursdays we talk about the non-Apple side of things, and there's also a lot of exciting stuff happening there. So I highly recommend that show, except for next week because I'm traveling, so I'm not here next week. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, all of it on my website, thepatrice.com, gets you there. And Jeff and I, and we just recorded last night a really cool episode, but actually after this show, I hope at least I'll drop the next episode of Retro Rewatch. And I always like to show the nice little mug that we have, because the awesome logo that Jeff has designed is just so amazing on mugs and stuff.
It looks really nice
and on other things, like just everywhere, stickers, everything. We rewatch Stargate SG-1 right now. We just wrapped season one. We did like have a kind of a wrap up and a little clip show special. And today we're jumping into season two of Stargate SG-1 and we're resolving what's going to happen to Earth. Is it going to get saved? And if so, how? So that's what's happening.
Poor
27-year-old show. So I don't think I'm spoiling anything at this point.
Yeah, well, for me, it could be a spoiler since it's my first time watching.
Yeah, I mean, you've watched it. We've recorded it a while ago, so by now you know. Yeah, but the others might not have. So if you haven't, go watch Section 31 and then watch Season 2, Episode 1 of Stargate SG-1 and then listen to our show.
Perfect.
That's a plan.
All right. Okay, I guess it means it's my turn now. Mm-hmm. Social medias, Jay Gamut on everything. I'm posting on Mastodon, a little bit on Blue Sky, and I'm working on moving away from Instagram to pixelfed.social. I'm kind of all around. And then shows, Chuck's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, Dave's In Touch with iOS on Thursdays, here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and then Patrice has already mentioned we're doing Retro Rewatch, and I guess that means I kind of have a busy podcast schedule. So with that, let's wrap this thing up so we can all go watch Section 31. Thank you to the three of you for making my Friday morning just an absolute delight. This has been so much fun. I'm glad we get to spend this time together. And I'm glad that all of you that watch or listen live, that you were here with us too. I'm so happy you get to be part of all of this. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.